Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, the VAT story is a very, very important one. It is one that affects all South Africans. We were horrified to find out that they were going to push a 2%. The increase, it then was reduced to a 1% with 0.5% in May and then perhaps the next year. Very, very confusing. The DA fought very vigorously around this. They're currently in court. Action SA stepped in and assisted in what we understand is in passing the budget, but then trying to pull back on the VAT. We spoke with Action SA yesterday. They made certain comments about the DA, which we obviously needed to and wanted to give the DA the opportunity just to explain how the process worked, how the process has worked thus far, and where to from here. Joining us this morning is Dr. Mark Burke. He's the finance spokesperson for the DA. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
It's good to be with you. I'm doing well.
Good. So you know, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I don't think I'm a genius, but I'm fairly intelligent and I follow current news, I follow politics, and I follow it closely. But one of the most confusing things that I have come across in recent years is this VAT story. And for some reason, there is so much noise around it that it is almost impossible to actually understand what happened and why. Can you take us through it from your perspective?
Absolutely. And let's try and clear out some of that noise and get to the heart of it, which I think is actually an exciting time in South African history. I anticipate that in coming months and years, we're going to notice more gremlins in our law that were not noticeable when the ANC was the dominant party in South Africa. But now when democracy kicks into second gear and they control 39% of the seats in parliament and support for their ideas can no longer be assumed, I suspect we're going to find more of these temporarily confusing junctures as we go along. And I would say to South Africa, just before I start unpacking it a bit, that and for your audience in Joburg, that this is not a bad thing. You know, it's a bit unsettling in the short term. But in the long term, I think it's really good for South Africa. So with that lens,
yes,
you know,
brilliant.
Let's maybe delve into some of the complexity.
Great.
The minister announced to us about 2 weeks prior to the failed February budget speech that he was going to try and increase VAT, which is a departure from our midterm budget policy agreed on last year. And it was simply also just not workable in the DA's mind for South African society at the moment, which is overburdened. So we made that clear to him. They plowed ahead and had to postpone at the last minute when they realized they didn't have multi-party support for the budget. Mm-hmm. Then there was a second attempt at the budget, which, as you now earlier said, went from 2 to 1%, 1% spread over 2 years. And that still didn't have the support it needed to get through it. Now, at this juncture, it's probably important to quickly touch on what does the budget actually mean? Because I think in people's minds, it means one vote and then it's done. Mm-hmm. But it's actually 3.5 votes, as I would put it. Okay. So the first step, which is probably the most important step of the budget process, is after the minister has made his speech, which we can all understand as an announcement of intention,
intent,
or put differently, it can be understood as a proposal, not a diktat. The first step is a report that moves through a committee in Parliament, which is called the Standing Committee of Finance. And that report is then voted on in Parliament. So the committee comes up with a report and Parliament sits to accept or reject that committee's report. And once that which is not a law being passed, it's a report being approved. So that's the half a step, which is actually the most important out of the 3.5 pieces of law. Once that is solidified, it's called the fiscal framework. Once it's solidified, it defines the size of the box of how much income there will be and how much expenditure you can have from that income. So you could say the fiscal framework dictates that the box is the size of 2 trillion rand. We're not expecting to get more than 2 trillion rand in, and we can't spend more than 2 trillion rand going out.
Right.
I'm simplifying, but
yes,
hopefully you
well,
get the
that's
idea.
That's kind of the way the world works, yeah.
Right. And then after that, and I'm going to skip over what happened in the committee for a moment because we can circle back to it.
Right.
But assuming that all goes to plan, you know, the committee sits, it has a sensible process that it follows to come up with a report. That report is voted on in Parliament. Then the size of the box is defined. But while that size of the box is being defined, it also says on the income side, predominantly where the income will come from. So it says, you know, we're going to get some of this from income tax, some of it from corporate tax, some of it from value-added tax, and some of it from borrowing. And you know, here we go. Then the remaining three pieces of legislation is what's called the Division of Revenue Bill. And that simply says this amount is going to national government, this amount's going to provincial government, and this amount is going to local government. After the Division of Revenue Bill, which is the second step, there's the Appropriations Bill, which says within national government and national departments, which one gets what amount. So if your Division of Revenue talked about, you know, the three spheres of government, the Appropriation Bill focuses in on the first sphere, which is the national sphere.
Right.
And then finally, a bill is passed that's called the Revenue Laws Amendment Act. Now, that bill could technically be passed anywhere after the first a half a step the fiscal framework is taken. So I've now described it in a way that says fiscal framework, DORA, appropriations, and then revenue laws. But technically, that last one could also have come right after the fiscal framework. Okay, so hopefully now your audience understands the 3.5-step process followed to get to a budget. And that process usually takes about 2 to 3 months.
Right.
Circling back to the fiscal framework, the most important half a step at the start, what happened in the committee is that there are 11 committee members in any standing or select or any other committee, in fact, only in standing committees and any other committee in Parliament of the National Assembly. And the way those 11 seats are comprised are as follows. The ANC has got 4, the DA has got 2, the NK has got 2, the EFF has got 1, which brings you together to 9, and then the smaller parties between them come to an arrangement of which committees they will take seats on. So in this particular committee on finance, but you have other committees like home affairs and so on, but in this particular committee on finance, those two seats are split between the IFB and Action SA. Now, the ANC obviously wanted the VAT increase, that was their proposal, so they had the 4 seats in favor of it already. But to get the numbers in the committee to pass a report, they would need at least 2 more seats to support them. The MK, the EFF, and the DA in this case were vehemently opposed to a VAT increase. The IFP had made it clear that they would support an ANC budget for whatever reasons they stated. And the one turned out to be a wild card was Action SA. You know, they had indicated in public that they would never, one, they would never work with the ANC.
Yes, no, we've seen that.
But two, they indicated they would never support a VAT budget. And so there was this assumption that, of course, they would oppose it. In fact, on the day, which is a 9-hour committee meeting, a marathon meeting, they started out the day saying they're going to amend the fiscal framework. So just another technical detail, and hopefully then I'm done with most of the technical stuff. The committee, so Parliament can either, you know, accept or reject the report that the committee came up with, but the committee in law has only 2 things it can do. It can either accept the fiscal framework as proposed by the minister in his budget speech, or it can amend the fiscal framework. So effectively say, thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Minister, but because of democracy, we are now overriding your fiscal framework. So you could have said, no, our fiscal framework is going to be 3 trillion rand. You know, we're going to tax South Africans 90% because we need 3 trillion. Or you could say, no, thank you for that suggestion. We're actually going to decrease it by 1% so that we don't have to charge VAT. So the committee has the democratic power to override the minister's suggestion. And so that would be technically called an amendment to the fiscal framework. So committee can either amend or accept, and Parliament can either accept or reject. On the day Action SA came in and they said, we will amend the fiscal framework to take out bracket creep on the personal income tax side, and we'll also take out VAT. The committee meeting went on, and the through it was adjourned ostensibly for 5 minutes, but it ended up being more than an hour. And what happened in that time is it became clear that the ANC was strong on Action SA to say that they won't amend the fiscal framework, they'll accept it, but they'll add this flimsy recommendation of reconsidering VAT. Now, it's important to understand why the ANC would have done that. We had the committee meeting on the 1st of April, and Parliament was set to sit on the 2nd of April. But if there were any amendments to the fiscal framework, so not a blanket acceptance, then those amendments would have to go to the minister for at least 2 days for him to comment on, and his comments be included in the report. So you couldn't change what the committee decided on, but you could at least say, I don't like what you guys are saying, and it'll be bad for this reason. Or actually, well done, I'm happy with what you said, go ahead. But that would give him 2 days to respond. And of course, there was not 2 days available between the committee sitting and
Right,
Parliament
and
sitting, and the
the
ANC probably knew they wouldn't
yes.
have the votes 2 days later.
Right.
So they strong-armed Action SA into saying, let's accept the fiscal framework, but let's make some recommendations. But recommendations are, one, non-binding, and two, however strong you state them, they have no effect in law. Your option in law in that committee was either to accept or amend, and Action SA decided to accept. And I mean, everybody knows their position since then has changed almost on a daily basis. But that then brings us to the court case of yesterday. The DA said to the Western Cape High Court two things. It said, one, we cannot have a situation where this procedurally flawed, farcical process leads to a report that has non-binding recommendations. And actually, within the committee, we never even had a final report that we voted on. The
Right.
report only came into existence after the committee dispersed. So nothing about that procedure was sound, and that can't lead to a lawful report. So we challenged that in the court. But the second bit that we challenged is a gremlin that we've now picked up in our law, which is the minister, as we mentioned earlier, announcing by diktat a VAT increase, not knowing that he would have the full support of Parliament. In fact, he can almost only bank on his 39% of the seats, because almost everybody else has said that in principle they don't want a VAT increase. So if he knows that this Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, which would follow on the fiscal
Right.
framework, can only succeed if it has more than 50% of the support. But he doesn't have 50, like there's no reason for him to be announcing a VAT increase. And so he's effectively taking a taxation power away from the legislature and putting it in his own pocket and then executing on that power. And so the second legal challenge we had yesterday was saying that this cannot be constitutional. We're not asking the High Court to make a constitutional assessment, but while there's uncertainty about the constitutionality of this, and we're pretty certain it's not constitutional, at least suspend the VAT increase up until such point as either Constitutional Court tells us, no, we think it is constitutional for the executive to taxate South Africans without them
Yes.
voting on it, or for South Africans through their parliamentary representatives to pass this
Right.
Revenue Laws
So
Amendment Act that I described.
what happens if the case is successful? What is the result of that? What happens to the VAT increase?
I want to give you more succinct answers from this point forward, but just bear with me quickly because, as I've now mentioned, there's two challenges. If we're successful on the first part, which is the procedural aspect, then it has to go back to the committee, and that committee will hopefully then come to its senses, even though it has a ANC chair. Hopefully, Action SA now sees the light, and it might come up with a different revenue proposal than VAT, in which case, there's definitely no reason for VAT to go ahead. So if the first part of the application is successful, then it goes back to the committee. More importantly, if the second part of the application is successful, we've asked the court to suspend the VAT increase until, as I've now said, either a constitutional court ruling happens or we are able to pass a law through Parliament. And the DA accepts that if 50% of parliamentarians vote for a VAT increase, then that is the law. But the Parliament should vote on that, not the minister. The minister should not have that taxation without representation privilege. And so, to answer your question in a hopefully succinct way, is if we are successful on both parts of our application, we will be able to suspend this VAT increase, and hopefully we'll be able to get the votes in Parliament so that it never comes into effect.
And what happens then to the GNU?
Well, The DA has always remained committed to the partnership. We didn't go shop for budget support votes outside of the GNU, which is, I know we're in South Africa and I'm 100% South African, but if I look at anywhere else in the world, it is very strange for a coalition partner to get non-coalition partners to support the budget, which is the most important piece of legislation a government can come up with. There's no more impactful and effectual piece of legislation than the budget. And so to go to seek support outside of a coalition to support that instrument is just a strange and I'd say weird concept. But we remain in the GNU and remain committed to trying to serve South Africa. The ANC shouldn't be chatting to parties outside the GNU for support, and they should be taking our input. The other thing I'll say about this is VAT is just a symptom of a very sick governance system in South Africa.
Well, there's no
We are
doubt. I mean,
over.
we should be curtailing spending, not trying to increase
100%.
revenue, no doubt.
That's exactly it. So, to put that into context for your audience, this government, if you take the Mandela 1995 budget and you have inflation adjusted, which is, making it 2025 money, this budget is three times the size of the Mandela budget. And it's between 50 to 60% of the size of the Mbeki budget, which already had social.
Oh, we seem to have lost our guest for a moment. We're chatting to Dr. Mark Burke. He's the finance spokesperson for the DA. We're trying to understand the process of the VAT increase as well as the case that the DA is bringing against government. Dr. Mark Burke, are you there?
I'm on the line. Are you able to hear
Oh,
me?
there we go. Now we can hear you. We just lost you for a moment. So, assuming that you are the well, in fact, before we even before we go back to that, why do you think it is that Action SA has now supported and almost gave life to the VAT increase, despite what they were saying?
Yeah, I spoke in Parliament the day after all of this transpired in the Finance Committee meeting, and I said, of course it was the 1st of April that this committee meeting happened, and I said that, either they were completely hoodwinked in case they were April Fools, or they knew exactly what they were doing and they decided to support a VAT-based budget, for which we then need to ask the question, what did they get in return? Was it the media or was it some other promise that was made? We simply don't know the answer to that question, and my guess is as good as yours. The more I look at the situation, the more it seems to me that they genuinely misunderstood the law and the powers of that committee, and they plowed ahead. I mean, on the evening of, these guys posted a picture of, well, yeah, I don't want to go into too much, but it just seemed like they were saying, these are our champions. They got the thing done today, and they were celebrating a massive defeat for South Africa. And so I just don't know what they were thinking. I wish I knew. I would say that I think deep down some of these guys aren't bad guys. The committee member with me that made all of these mistakes on the day, despite our trying to steer him towards sensible, reasonable outcomes. That guy, a gentleman by the name of Alan Beasley. So I'm inclined to believe they were completely hoodwinked. At least their parliamentary team was. And I hope that they'll now change course if given another bite to the cherry if this comes back to the committee.
Let's hope that is the case. Dr. Mark Burke, thank you for that. Thank you for the very detailed explanation. I'd love to hear from you. 0618951019. Dr. Mark Burke is the finance spokesperson for the DA.